I have a task this morning as we continue in our series answering the question, who does Jesus say that he is? My task is to talk with us through the statement that Jesus gives, and he says that I am the way to the Father. In fact, he is the appointed and the anointed way to the Father. So I am going to share a lot of words with you this morning, but I don't want to get lost. I don't want you to get lost in my words. So there is the big idea of what we are going to talk about today. And if you would, please mark this down and you can reflect on it now and until all this coming week. And the idea is this. All roads do not lead to faith in God. All roads do not lead to faith in God. Now, in every culture, the last word of the person dying means so much to the dying person, and even so much more to those who are left behind. This is the reason why the last will and testament is such an important document in our society. If you look in the Gospel of John in particular, chapter 13, verse 30 through 38, there you find the words that Jesus gave to his followers the night before he was to die. We found the conversation related there between Jesus and his followers, John chapter 13, verse 30 through 38. There, Jesus predicts that Peter will deny him. Now, when you read this section of scripture, if you read it quickly, you may think the emphasis is on Peter denying Jesus. Let me read it to your hearing. John chapter 13, verse 30 through 38. Hear what the word of our Lord says. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Verse 31, when he was gone, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow now. But you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Now, when you hear this reading, you may think the emphasis is on Peter denying Jesus. Of course, Peter later we found out that he actually did deny Jesus three times. However, I would like to emphasize to you today, I would like to suggest that Jesus here in this particular passage, he's laying down the groundwork for one of the last seven statements he was to share with his disciples. In that last several weeks, we've heard in this room many of Jesus' declaration. We have studied together that he is the bread of life, that Jesus is the light of the world, that Jesus is the good shepherd. But in this particular statement, the one we're about to look about at here this morning, Jesus declares, he says, I am the way. Now, in order to follow, in order for someone to travel from one place to the next, they will go either on a road or on a path or on a way. That's how we travel. That's how we go from A to B. Now, in the verse I just read to you here, verse 36, Jesus talked about his departure. He's talking about, I am about to go. And that captured the disciples' attention, in particular Peter's attention. So he asked, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him. Again, he highlighted the challenge that he brought to his disciples much, much earlier in verse 33. And what is the challenge? And this is a challenge for you, people of Tabernacle. In verse 33, he says this, my children, I'll be with you only for a little longer. You look for me just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot follow. So he laid out this challenge. He said, it's impossible for you to go where I am going. So in our text, our main text this morning, John chapter 14, verse 1 through 14, we are going to discover Jesus telling them exactly how to go where he is going. In our text today, he went a little bit further in it, stating that if you want to go to where he's going, if you want to follow him, he says this, he is the way to get there. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, Matthew kind of further into this challenge, he says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Do you want to be among the few? Do you want to be among the few that find the narrow gate and the way? If you do, then be ready to receive what Jesus is going to say to you today, because he says, I am the way. So the focus of John chapter 13, 30 to 38 is not on Peter denying Jesus, but it is on the hardship of the way to the Father. Although the road is difficult, Jesus assured his followers in the verses we're about to discuss this morning that they need not to be troubled. Although the way is difficult, do not be troubled, Jesus said, because I am the way. Therefore, answering the question that we've been asking ourselves for the last 4 weeks, who does Jesus say that he is? We discover here a clear, emphatic answer that Jesus says that he is the way. So he says, do not be troubled. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Here we find Thomas protesting. So Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. He clearly says he is the way. So the question I ask myself, what is that Jesus says he will bring comfort to a troubled people? How is it going to do that? Because these disciples, and probably you, right now listening to me, probably you are troubled. They were troubled. Their trouble was Jesus, whom they hung out with, whom they spent time with, now was about to go. And they're feeling abandoned. I don't know, probably you feel abandoned. And I don't know what you may be feeling abandoned by. probably your heart is heavy and full of trouble. In fact, let me stand here and tell you, my heart is heavy. My heart is heavy. It's full of trouble. As soon as I began to make my way back to the United States, along the way, I began to receive messages that our city is in trouble. I look at my feed on my phone, text messages, emails coming from our city that we are in trouble. How so? Oh, Pastor Winfred was praying about this here, not a mile away from our place. A young man from my native country was slain on our street. So my heart is troubled. I don't know what's troubling your hearts. These disciples, their hearts were troubled because the one they loved was about to leave them. My heart was troubled. As I boarded in Brussels, heading to Chicago, in the last few minutes, I spoke with one of the local pastors who reached out to say, pray for us. Our hearts are troubled. As I reached Chicago, I called him back. Eight and a half hours later, I called him back, and he was always there, answered the phone. Pray for our city. My heart is troubled. So why is this? Jesus says, he's going to bring his disciples. He says this, do not be troubled. He's going to bring you comfort. Jesus will bring you comfort in your troubles. Whatever troubles you may be going through, Jesus will bring you comfort. Because he promises, he says, do not let your heart be troubled, because it's going to bring you comfort. If you are writing things down, this may be something really good to write down, because this is what he says. How is he going to bring that comfort? He says, trust in God. He says, trust in God. Not only trust in God, but trust in him also. So when we trust in God and trust in Jesus, it brings comfort to troubled people. If your heart is troubled, he says, trust in God. Trust in me, Jesus says, and I'll bring you comfort. Why should the disciple trust in God? Because Jesus says, I am going to my Father, and in his house there are plenty of room. Why? Because God is the owner of the house Jesus is going to, and the owner of the house is reliable. He is somebody you can bank on that he is going to be there always. Is your heart troubled? Trust in God. Trust also in Jesus. Because he says, in my Father's house there are plenty of room, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. God is reliable. Not only is God reliable, but Jesus is reliable. And he's the one who's preparing a place for you. I was encouraged. Because even as I was listening back and forth and corresponding with the pastors here in town, I was meditating on our time together here. And I read and I discovered Jesus saying, trust in God, trust in me. Because when you trust in me, you trust in God, I'll bring comfort to troubled people. People, Tabernacle, if you are troubled, know that Jesus, trusting in him, will bring you comfort. This fact should bring the disciple comfort. And this fact should bring comfort to anyone who trusts in him. Why should the disciple trust in God? Why should the disciple trust in Jesus? Their faith was to be based on what God was ready to do and what God was doing through Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Jesus promised them. They've seen what Jesus has done. So if you have spent time with Jesus, you know what he's done in your life. And you can rest at peace even in the midst of trouble. Unlike many in the world, Jesus does not give empty promises. Whatever he says he will do, he does. Whatever Jesus says he will do, he does. He does not give empty promises. Now this, friends, should boost the confidence, your confidence. This boosted the confidence of the disciples who were listening to him. Because he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, know this. The journey we are on, the way we are on, is a difficult journey. Let nobody lie to you. It is a difficult journey. This world is filled with uncertainty. Therefore, we each need an experienced guide, someone who would escort us from where we are to our final destination. Because it is possible to have a room waiting for you, and yet the person fails to reach that room because either the person, they encounter dangers along the way, or the guide is inexperienced, or the guide does not know where to go. Therefore, you are lost. Whatever the reason, Jesus says, trust me, I'll get you there. Trust me, I'll get you there. He assures his disciples, and he's assuring you and I this morning. He's assuring us today not to worry, but to begin to trust in him. So if you are here this morning and you have never trusted in Jesus, I want to invite you to his invitation. He says, trust in me, and I'll get you to the final destination. Now in verse 5, John chapter 14, we find Peter reflecting on this question. Where are you going? Where are you going? So Jesus says, he tells his disciple, you know the way, you know the place where I'm going. Although the disciples here have been with him, all this time they seem to be confused. They knew he was about to go. Probably you have walked with him as well. And when suddenly trouble comes your way, you begin to wonder, what's going to happen to me? He says, trust in me. Look at what verse 5 says. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? I don't know if you've asked that question. When trouble has come your way, and you're thinking, I don't know what's going on here. Thomas basically is saying, we don't know. And yet he'd been with them. And yet he had told them where he was going. He told them what the mission was. So although the disciples had not been there, they will now go. They will go where he is going, because he says, I'm going there. I'm going to prepare a place. So the way where he's going, the place where he's going, should have been familiar to the disciples. And I'm saying to you, if you have spent time with Jesus, the way to where he's going, the place he's preparing for you, should be familiar to you. Only if you have not spent time with him should you ask this question. Now, this is one of the building blocks of Tabernacle Community Church. We say spending time with Jesus. And when you spend time with him, you should know him. You should be familiar with him. You should know the way. You should know where he's going. You should know what he's doing. So even though your heart may be troubled, you should hear his comfort. He says, trust in me. Trust in God. Because when you trust me, when you trust in God, I'll bring you comfort. If you're writing things down, this could be point number 2 for you. For followers of Jesus, the way to the Father is familiar. Those who actually spend time with him, the way to the Father is familiar. So Thomas was not convinced by Jesus' statement in chapter 14, verse 5. So we find him protesting, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? How does Jesus respond to Peter? This is what he says. In reply, he speaks of the destination of the journey. It is frequently said, all roads lead to Rome. And in our culture, believe in whatever you wish, you'll get there. Jesus is saying, no, I am the way. I am the way. Any other way will get you lost. Any other guide will not get you to the final destination. It is only Jesus who is the way. So here Jesus is very specific when he says, no one else comes to the Father except through me. If you go to the text, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way. Earlier in this chapter, verse 2, in a previous chapter, verse 36, he hinted at this. He did not specifically say, but now here he says, I am going to the Father, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The disciples and anyone who believe in him will reach the Father. If you believe in him, you will reach the Father. Why? Because he is the way. He is the way. Point number 3, if you're writing something down, this could help you too. Jesus is God's appointed way to the Father. He is God's approved way to the Father. Now, this Jesus, who we've been talking about here, who does he say he is? Oh, he's called by many names. If you give me a moment, I can tell you what names is Jesus known by. Can you just give me a moment? Can I do that? Let me tell you who Jesus is. This Jesus is the one revealed in the scriptures. This Jesus is the only unique Son of God, the Father. He is co-equal with God and possesses all divine attributes. This Jesus is the eternal and immortal, who himself made everything, and apart from him, nothing has come into being. This Jesus. And he says, I am the way to the Father. This Jesus, who is the fullness, who in fullness of time was sent by the Father to be conceived by the Holy Spirit in a womb of a virgin, was to be born under sin in order to set us free from the bondage of sin. Do you know him? He is the way to the Father. This Jesus. This Jesus who's been preached here and has been preached for years, millennia before this time. He is the eternal God. He is the King of glory. He is the Lord of lords. This Jesus healed the sick. This Jesus gave me comfort as I read about what was going on in our city so that I can be able to arrive here with a calm spirit. This Jesus gave sight to the blind. This Jesus raised the dead and welcomed little children to himself and held them in his arm and blessed them, saying, of such is the kingdom of God. And today, this Jesus continues to work. Even right now, as we sit and stand here, he continues to work. How so? As the great high priest interceding on your behalf and my behalf. This is our Christ. This is our Lord. We know him by many titles because no one single name fully expresses his accomplishment. Who is he? He is the Son of God. Who is he? He's the Son of Man. He's Messiah. King of kings, Lord of lords, the good shepherd. Oh, you heard about him. The light, the door, the way, the truth, and the life. This Jesus is the word that became flesh. Is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lamb, the alpha, and the omega. The great God and the savior of his people. Oh, this Jesus. Who is he? He is our Lord. So, friends, I can stand here today and declare to you that he is the way to the Father. And if you are lost and you don't know the way, it's my plea to you today, do not walk out of this room. Know this Jesus. Because he loves you so much. You need to believe in him. Because as you do, he will hold you. He held me. He will hold you in times of troubles. And when we believe in Jesus, we can hear his call. Do not let your heart be troubled. Christ is preparing a place for you and me in the presence of God. Now, this is comforting. in our faith. In our faith, salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus says, not all roads lead to possession of faith or eternal life. Now, this statement, friends, raises questions of the destination of our ancestors who died before Christ was presented to them. And this is a bit personal here, if I may just share with you. Perhaps you also may wonder about the same question regarding your ancestors. This question was posed of me while I was overseas in the last 3 weeks. As I was in the village of Kitindi, after teaching in their community, somebody asked me the question, how about those who died before this message of Jesus was presented to them? So while thinking about answering that question, the Spirit led me to another passage of Scripture, and I'd like to share it with you today before I take my seat. In the book of Romans, Paul answered that question. In the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 12 through 16, Paul answered that question. How about the people who did not hear about this Jesus, before they passed away? Here's what Paul says. Romans chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. 14. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the requirement of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on a day when God judges everyone's secret thoughts through Christ Jesus, as my gospel declares. This is a bit personal. Paul, you may wonder about this too, and this question was asked of me, and I had to reflect as I speak about this Jesus who holds everything in his hands. I had to reflect on it. And here Paul says this, there is room in God's judgment plan for judging cases on the basis of people's response to the general revelation. However, it is also clear that no case will be considered outside of Christ, the appointed way to God. Who does Jesus say that he is? He is God anointed. And each individual's response to him, whether in the context of special or general revelation, will be considered by God. So Paul tells us, those who try to please God, despite not having heard of Christ, will be accepted. For Jesus has been sent by God, and the only one who pleased the Father has already passed the test of obeying the message of the Son. Can I explain that? It's saying this to my ancestors and probably to yours. If they saw God revealed in nature and obeyed him for what he called them to do, they also, because of the work of Jesus Christ, God has judged them based on their obedience. However, for you and I, we now have heard of this Jesus. We have no excuse. So if we say all roads lead to faith, we are lost. But if we say, Jesus, you are the way to the Father, and we want a relationship with you, guess what? We'll get to the destination that is preparing for us. So the question of how God will judge those who have not heard has been answered. And Paul gives us clarity. But before I take my seat, I want to ask you, how about us who have not heard this message that Jesus is the way to the Father? What is our response? What is our response to this message? We have heard. How are we responding to it? How about you? You have heard that He is the way. For most of us, this question is no longer a question to be asked, because Jesus has been proclaimed as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, as the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the only way to the Father. Will you choose to follow Him? Our decisions about Jesus Christ will determine our destination. How you decide will determine your destination. Not all roads lead to eternal life. Not all roads lead to eternal life. Jesus is the appointed way to the Father. My friend, my brother, my sister, this morning I implore you, choose to follow Jesus. Amen. May God bless you. May God bless His word. And may this week you choose to walk with Him. Let's stand and pray. And as you stand, and as we close our time, I would like to remind you of a couple of things. One is, do not forget to worship God in your giving as you leave this morning. There are multiple ways that we give electronically, in an envelope. There will be a basket in the end. Worship God in your giving. I also would like to remind you, today is the second Sunday. And second Sunday is our small group Sunday. To my left, your right, there's a sign that says Connect Central. Somebody will be there, Connect Central, to receive you if you desire to be a part of a small community, because we believe that growth takes place in community. Once you have said that this Jesus is the way, and you are probably alone, you want to be with other followers of Jesus so you can grow with them. So please stop at Connect Central before we leave. Lastly, Jesus says in John chapter 14, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Friends, let me tell you, those words have brought me comfort, even in the season we are in right now. In this world, you'll have many troubles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Who is I? Jesus. So I'm inviting you to pray for our city. Pray for peace. Pray for our city, that there will not be any destruction as a result of a distracted life that was lost just a couple miles, less than a mile from here. We are praying that God's peace will reign. Shalom. Will reign in the city of Grand Rapids for the flourishing of the city and the flourishing of the people of the city. Now receive this as a blessing as you leave. Jude says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, this is Jesus. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. May God bless you. May you have an awesome, awesome week. Amen.